about the poise that he has shown. The fourth round pick has been what stood out to me. To his left, end zone. Touchdown, Butler. How about the kid, Dak Prescott?
Hello, everybody, and it is always a great day when I can hit this button.
You did one hell of a job, and the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
The wise words of Jimmy Johnson, two-time Super Bowl coach. Hello, everybody. It is the Stars Align Overtime.News, the show brought to you by Logo Warehouse, the exclusive merchandise retailer of Overtime.News, as well as Cage Combat, local MMA in the Albany, New York area. Two of our big-time sponsors, Skidmore College, we want to thank them. A bunch of people who help us out, Alpha Hoops, Northeast Snowplow Repair. Thank you, everybody, for putting this together. I'm looking at the show agenda that Dustin made here, and to me, a couple of things stand out. I'm both happy and I'm sad. But we'll go into good news first. It's a good day. It's a Cowboy winning day. It's always good news when they win. So we'll go into happy days first. Dak Prescott obviously breaks Tom Brady's record. Cool. Okay, it's kind of an obscure stat, but it's still held by a Cowboy. Ezekiel Elliott, first rookie running back ever to have 130-plus yards in three consecutive games. That's also cool. Cowboys hold that record. But more importantly, they're 5-1. Should be. I'm still salty over week one. Should be 6-0 in my opinion, but you know what? We're not going to split hairs here. You know, if they were 2-3 or 3-2 or 3-3, I'd say, week one we should have had it, man. It would make all the difference. But right now, really does not matter. There's only one other team with a better record, and it's Minnesota. So I'm happy right now. I'm looking at a defense that's bend but don't break and played very well today against arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. Did not look like the best quarterback in the NFL, but he is. I think that's pretty, you know, understandable. Him or Tom Brady, obviously, is I think what people would make the argument about. And, you know, this defense forced four turnovers. Okay. They held Aaron Rodgers out of the end zone until about 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Okay. So, I mean, this defense, which came in as the suspect area, really has looked good. Now, of course, Mo Claiborne went out. We already were missing Scandrick. Church went down late, so I was a little bit nervous about an Aaron Rodgers rally late. This team was able to hold on. Here's another question. Dak Prescott, kid is the truth. He is the real deal. And what really, really made me happy and that I wanted to see and what really gave me peace of mind, one, as a sports analyst and as a broadcast journalist, but also as a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, what made me happy was after he threw the interception, which was a bad throw. He rolled out, really was trying to force one, was not the best throw in the world. What made me happy was the mental kid had to come back down the field and lead him on a touchdown drive to essentially ice the,
something,
you know, put
Aaron
the icing on.
Rodgers doesn't have right now,
which is really shocking, because Aaron Rodgers, that's the one thing I lost sleep last night over. That's the one thing I'm always nervous about. Rodgers, he doesn't just do it to us; he does it to everybody. And Rodgers just he didn't look the same today. I don't know what's been going on with Aaron Rodgers, and maybe he's going through some domestic stuff at home. I don't know, but he just has not been the same this season. So We're looking at a Dallas Cowboy team. Again, David Irving, somebody give this dude a contract. I mean, three of those fumbles were forced by him. He's been very good on the interior line. We failed to get pressure for a lot of the game on him, but it really didn't matter. I mean, 9 games out of 10 that I'm used to watching in this Green Bay Packers offense, you give Aaron Rodgers as much time as we gave him today, he's going to cut you up, man. He's going to slice you to ribbons. It's going to be a 40-point Packer lead. You know, so I don't know what's going on with Rodgers, but hey, I'll take it. I'm happy about it. The one thing, the bad news now, here's what I'm sad about. Dustin, I know you and I are big Tony Romo supporters, advocates. We go to bat for him. We get almost damn near getting the fist fights and bars over him. Okay. I mean, he's our guy. And you look at what he's done, and you look at the percentages he's thrown. I mean, 75% third down conversion rate. You know, 3 touchdowns today, only the 1 pick, but it was a bad throw. He almost won another game without a pick. He has led this team to the best record they've had since their 12-4 season, and one of the best records they've had since their 13-3 season. So at this point in the year, anyway. So I'm looking at this saying, listen, they got a bye week next week. They'll get Dez back. They'll get Mo Claiborne. Hopefully the concussion's not too terrible. They'll get him back. And then this offense keeps chugging. My question here, and this has been a debate topic for us on our show, on our Twitter. You can hit us at Stars Align Show on Twitter if you want to tweet us questions, responses. The big thing is Sunday Night Football in 2 weeks against the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you bring Tony Romo back, or do you let this kid keep rolling and let Romo come in to sort of save the day if he does start to struggle?
I mean, so they had Favre on. It was his Hall of Fame halftime whatever ceremony. They gave him the ring and the whole nine. And Favre was even saying he didn't really cover his comments in his personal radio show that he had on satellite radio. Instead, he kind of just went into chemistry, firing on all cylinders. You don't want to disrupt something that's special. And
if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of a thing. Yeah,
yeah. And that's pretty much what he was saying to begin with. You know, Tony, he was saying, Tony, sit back, relax, get as healthy as you can possibly be, because, you know, you're going to be playing next year, whether or not it's with the star on your helmet. That's one, you know, he'll be playing somewhere. I'm not so sure about that. And, you know, and I think that it's very heavily, heavily in favor of him not being in the Cowboy uniform next year, but that we could cover that later. But he said, you know, you get right and you let this kid just run and let him run as much as he possibly can. And something starts to happen, there's a flat tire, you come in and you fix it. And he doesn't want to be the guy that gets plugged in and then doesn't have instant success and then it's all over. Because let me throw a hypothetical at you. Romo's playing this game. Let's say Romo has that BS fumble / interception where he gets hit from behind, and everybody would be calling for Dak like that was Romo's problem, like that is his fault. He has zero room for error. If Romo gets put in and they don't win every single game for the rest of the season, he's screwed. So he's in a lose-lose situation. Unless he runs the table and wins the Super Bowl, it's all done. And then in which case, I think fans are so unreasonable that if they did that, they went undefeated for the rest of the year, won the Super Bowl, they'd still want him out. They'd say, thanks. You know, thank you. Time to give the keys to the kid. Romo's
kind of like Peyton Manning
in Dallas.
But I mean, look at Peyton. But I mean, I know this is not the same
situation.
But Peyton
retired on his own terms. You know,
true.
Peyton,
but what I'm saying,
Peyton could have played another year if he wanted to. People chalked that year up to, you know, his injuries and all that other stuff. Until you can go out healthy, you can't really go out. I mean, you can go out, but you're not going to go out on your own terms. So when you go out healthy, you've made the decision, football is no longer for me. You know, a lot of the greats in all sports go out on their own terms, and then others go out because of age and yada, yada, yada. I mean, Ray Lewis wanted to retire riding into the sunset. He wasn't necessarily broken down. He had a couple injuries, but, dude, he could have kept playing for at least another year. Derek Jeter, he went out on the top, you know, on top. Mm-hmm. Not really, he didn't go out winning a championship, but he went out on top.
But the way he went out, That final game, that base hit and his final at bat was amazing.
So that's my point. These greats didn't go out, you know, hampered by injuries is all I'm saying. You know, Peyton did. Now, granted, you had the Super Bowl to outweigh the fact that he went out by injuries, so he could walk away happy. If he didn't win the Super Bowl that year, guy, come on. There's not a single soul in the world that believes that Peyton would have gone out like that. He wanted to go out on his terms, healthy, knowing he gave it all he had, not missing half the season, flipping off the camera to Kubiak, who didn't want him to play. So, excuse me. So, you know, this is the thing. Romo is not going to see the field, I don't think. You know, if Garrett truly wants Romo in over Dak, then that's just going to solidify my whole, you know, Jason Garrett's a moron theme. You know, you can't disrupt what is happening here. You've got guys that are just playing out of their minds. Dak is making everybody look better. This Bryce Butler kid, granted he had a drop that would have really put the nail in the coffin and would have at least kept that Aaron Rodgers, Princess Rodgers streak alive with no touchdowns in the second half. But
it also would have been perfectly thrown ball by Dak too. And
it was.
Remember this,
it was.
if he catches it, that interception doesn't happen either, and he still holds the record and keeps adding to it. So,
That's why Butler should really be, you know, taking Dak out to dinner for that one, because Butler pretty much really screwed Dak on that one bad no catch, because if he had caught what was in his hands, they are marching and then giving the ball back to Green Bay with maybe 2 minutes left and having to go the entire length of the field, not giving them the ball, you know, in our side of the field. So, listen, Romo, I love you to pieces, man. I got autographed stuff from you all over the place. I got your action figures everywhere. I got more jerseys than I can wear. But, dude, you got to get to Denver, man. You got to get somewhere that needs a guy that can just come in and stop the bleeding. And you got to get out of there. I read an article that basically said, you know, Elway needs to just shake it up right now and gamble on Romo the same way he did on Peyton Manning coming out of his neck surgery. He didn't have any guarantee that Peyton was going to be Peyton. He gambled. And he needs to take that same gamble on Tony Romo, because Tony Romo could step into Denver and do a lot better than Simeon and Paxton Lynch.
Oh, well, I think anybody could step in that has any level of experience in the league.
I'm talking now. I'm talking bye week.
This
season. Get that deal done the second half of this season. Save
Denver's season. Think about it, though. Wait a minute, though. But then, let's say, you never know what happens in this league. You never know. Dak could get hurt. He could really go downhill.
You're just being devil's advocate. That's the dumbest
thing
I've ever heard.
Then you've got Mark Sanchez coming in.
Okay, sweet. Sweet. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You think they're going to keep Tony Romo on the books for the entire – he's going to be out there 55 while Dak's a 14-year vet? No. So eventually we're going to get to where Dak's the starter.
Yeah,
and
but it's
we
not
going to
be the middle of this season.
We got garbage waiting behind him.
No,
dude, fast forward 4 years down the line. It doesn't make a difference. We're never going to have a quality backup just waiting in the reins for when Dak gets hurt. You're just being – you're being completely foolish right now. If
no, I'm not saying that.
Tony Romo – and get something in return for him. I'm saying get Aqib Talib. They don't want him in Denver. You could trade for Tony Romo straight up for Aqib Talib and get a veteran corner for about 3 years that could be a lockdown corner opposite of Mo Claiborne, opposite of Brandon Carr, Skandrick playing the slot like he wants to do. You could really shore up that secondary. Hell, or trade for a draft pick. Do what you want to do, Jerry, since you're so good at picking nowadays.
It's not happening this year. I'm just telling you. This season is not happening.
Tony. I know. I'm telling you, I don't care about what we want to do offensively as traders. I'm saying if John Elway is intelligent, he makes a play for Romo now, and he gets Romo now, and then he has Romo save his season this year, because otherwise Denver's done. They're falling apart.
I think so. Their offense is horrific. I mean, their defense is still good, but their offense is horrific. But let me go into this here. Again, it's the Stars Align Show brought to you by Logo Warehouse and Cage Combat, Skidmore College, a bunch of sponsors, Northeast Snowplow Repair, Alpha Hoops, 713-955-0359 if you want to call in. Also, just so you guys know, the half hour of this broadcast is live. You can listen to it just by clicking on the little link. And then we will go. Usually we go a little bit over. So if you are interested in what we're saying, you can listen to the playback and get the rest of it that you might miss. So make sure you go to our site and check that out. It'll be uploaded, I think, like 5 minutes after the show or something. So I'm going to ask you this then, because I'm telling you right now, it's not happening this season. It might happen in the off season, very well could. But I'm just telling you, with the hard-on that Jerry Jones has and as stubborn as that man is, you know as well as I know, that's not happening this year. It very well could happen in the off season. Very well could, but it's not happening this year. I'm just laying that out there. Secondly, you have been an advocate for years since about a running game and about how running football is fading away. Okay, and about how this is a pass league, aggressive league. It's a quarterback league. It's a quarterback driven league. But then we both kind of fell in love a little bit with number 29, DeMarco Murray, after what he had done. Coming in, we both had our doubts about Zeke. Okay, yeah, he's got the image. He's got the look. He's got the belly shirt. He was great in college. First game, I don't know so much about this guy. Second game, all right, yeah, he looked a little better. If I had to ask you straight up right now as a yes or no question, would you take DeMarco Murray? Would you have preferred that we kept DeMarco Murray and not had Zeke the way that Zeke is playing? Or are you happy with what happened with Murray kind of going in his own direction and doing what he's doing, and now that we do have the beast, Ezekiel Elliott?
I mean, it's kind of stupid. It's a stupid question because I know what I have now, and I know that Zeke's playing out of his mind, and I know that Zeke's 21, and Zeke hasn't had a major injury yet. Murray had injuries. Murray was, you know, already butthurt about the contract situation. I loved Murray, and if I could have made sure that I could do the impossible, which was give me back-to-back 12-4 seasons and let the Cowboys have all the same chemistry, all the same momentum, and go and try to right the wrong at Lambeau and win in 2015 the way that they should have in 2014, then yeah, I would have said that. But these are all just a bunch of stupid, you know, situational circumstances I have zero control over. So no, obviously I want the younger guy who hasn't had injuries, who's playing out of his mind right now. But, you know, the way that they were playing in 2014, would I have traded that for anything? No, I wouldn't have traded it for Dak. I wouldn't have traded it for Zeke, for nobody, for zero players would I have traded that the way that they were rolling in 2014. But everything happened the way it happened. So now, you know, we're blessed with the situation that's in front of us.
Well, they're rolling in a different way right now. I mean, they're not dominating teams the way that they did in 2014, but they're finding ways to
win. How do you say that? They absolutely manhandled Green Bay. They absolutely manhandled Cincinnati. They absolutely manhandled the San Francisco 49ers. The offensive line is making
San Fran game was closer than it should have been.
No. The offensive line is making the defensive lines they're playing against look like a bunch of little kids. So the offensive line is playing out of their mind. Now, are they protecting the quarterback?
They set you up for the offensive line, quote unquote, best offensive line for the last 6 to 8 months. And they've been playing it this season. They have been, like you said, blowing the defenders off the ball, completely
dominating
up front.
Where was that in the preseason? When they had all the – it's the preseason all the starters were in. So don't BS me on that. That was – they single-handedly messed up Romo, crunched in half, done for half the year, and probably no longer a Cowboy. So this offensive line needs to show me – a full season where they don't let whoever's standing back there. I don't give a crap if it's Romo, Dak. It could be Kellen Moore. It could be Mark Sanchez. It could be Jerry with his walker. I don't give a shit. If you're the best O-line in football, don't be the best run-blocking O-line in football and then be average in pass blocking. You want that title? You want to be the best O-line in football? You want to get the cool nickname Legion of Room? Then make sure your damn quarterback doesn't get hurt.
Well, here's my question. Why is Tony Romo constantly getting hit left and right, bounced around, knocked
alive.
Around? And
because
but,
he's
okay,
trying
but
to keep
so,
the play
so
alive.
Has Dak several times already this
no,
year.
No, no.
Maybe not
the, reason
maybe
why
not
that's
the same
not
way.
True. The reason why that's not true is because the way that they're calling plays for Dak is they're calling plays the same way they call them for New England. They always have a deep route a mid route and a short route. That's why when anybody who begins playing quarterback, they teach you to progress left to right, right to left, depending on what the play call is. And you always know where people are going to be, and they're in those spots. When you watch Brady, if he wants to go deep and it's not there, he progresses back, hits the mid. If the mid's not there, guess who's down low, just absolutely frying the defender? Edelman or Amendola. Amendola is the mid guy in that system, but Amendola has been known from time to time to get those quick little two-step and go routes where they're just gone off of a slant. What is happening with Dak? They simplified the system, and now guess who's there wide freaking open every time? Like I said, the last 2 years, one of the best slot receivers in football, impossible to cover, Cole Beasley. And he's there every time. And you want to know why Dak can see him every time? It's because Dak was a backup, and Dak practiced with backups who happened to be Cole Beasley and Butler. He got to practice with all the backup dudes. Why do you think he's so off with Jason Witten? And his first career interception came because he wasn't in sync with Jason Witten, because Jason Witten isn't a backup. I bet you if you threw in Escobar, I bet you Dak would be hitting Escobar like he was one of the best tight ends in football, because he practiced with these guys in the offseason so much. He's learned their everything, their habits, their speeds, the way they break for the ball. He knows these guys. Why do you think he's playing better when Dez isn't in the game? That's why I'm saying trade Dez. Get what you can for him. You need to get rid of these guys, because these guys are not helping Dak. They might help to scare the defense, but they're certainly not helping Dak out there. You know, Dez isn't the whoopee that he is to Romo. Witten isn't the whoopee, the pacifier that he is to Romo, to Dak. So it's like you gotta build this system around Dak now. And just because you simplified the playbook doesn't mean that it's less efficient. That's the quality team right there, the Green Bay Packers. Now, are they, the cream of the crop? Are they representing the NFC this year? No, they're not. They're a shell of themselves. But it's still all the same guys. You know, I think we're going to go to Minnesota, and I think we're going to beat Minnesota. I hope to God they stay undefeated, because I would love the publicity when we walk into undefeated at the new Minnesota Paradise. I think it's in Minnesota. And then we get out of there with a W, with a rookie QB and a rookie running back. So my whole thing is, dude, he's playing great because they dumbed down the system. Just keep it that way. Just keep it that way. Because Romo gives them, he gives them another element. He can extend plays. But this is why he gets hurt, because he can extend plays. So it's like, are we going to gamble and play that game, or are we just going to stick to vanilla? And if vanilla's working, hey, tough. Show me you can stop it, and then we'll work into another flavor.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm with it there. I'm looking at, you mentioned that Tony Romo extends plays to, and that's why he ends up getting hurt. Okay, I'm with it. I hear you there. He does do that. But the offensive line, the initial blocks are there. Okay, so the receivers not getting open, or the whatever not getting open, that's all on the receivers. But the fact is that pocket is usually there for Romo. Then he doesn't see something he likes, he doesn't see somebody open, whatever. He tries to scramble out and run and do all these things. NFL defenses are not going to be held for more than 4, 5, 6 seconds. Definitely not more than that. They're not going to be held, most of them can be held for more than 3. So, you got to get the ball out quick, and the fact is that Romo does try to do too much. I don't necessarily think it's the offensive line. I think it's the fact that Romo tries to do too much sometimes. But hey, it happens. Things happen.
When you're responsible for the success of you're single-handedly responsible for the success of a franchise for over 10 years. I mean, there's pressure on Tony Romo that Dak will probably never feel. Because now there's finally a whole, there's a team. You know, Tony Romo, where was this offensive line when Tony Romo was in his prime? You know? So it's like,
we didn't have any of them. All these guys are 2- and 3-year guys, 2nd- and 3rd-year guys. I mean, they're young.
Exactly. And I will tell you this, the only time Dak had problems tonight was pressure off the right tackle, which we need to look at in the
Doug
draft.
Free.
Because Doug Free's going to get the hell out of there.
Well, here's the thing.
Doug Free is the shit stain on the offensive line's
Josh. Yeah, he's a turnover machine. He is a turnover machine. But not only that, you look at this offensive line. Okay, most offensive linemen in this league, if they stay healthy, can play into their 30s. It's a position where you can play into your 30s. There's not a single person on that offensive line other than Doug Free that is under 25 years old. So we have this offensive line for 5 to 6 more years at least. Obviously not Doug Free. He's 33. But, you know, you look at like Chaz Green, for instance. Chaz Green came in and played very well. Okay, you can have – what you can do is when Leary leaves, because Leary's old as you-know-what, too, you know, Leary's going to – Lyle Collins is going to come back, get his job back. He's 22, okay? So Lyle Collins is going to be plugged back in. You can put Chaz Green over there for Doug Free, and boom, you're right back at the same great offensive line for the next 5 or 6 years. So that's the beauty of having, you know, young physical linemen and the linemen being as good as they are now and not coming into their prime later on in their career. Another topic we've talked about today. Again, this show does move pretty quickly. You know, if we have callers, whatever, that's great. We do have tweets. We are responding to tweets at the moment as we're going along here. Cole Beasley. I've said for a while, Cole Beasley is our Wes Welker. He's our Julian Edelman. He is a shifty little dude. I mean, I'm telling you, he shook that second touchdown. I'm not even sure who the corner was because Green Bay's so banged up in their secondary. But he shook that dude. I mean, he was – you couldn't get more wide open than Beasley was on that touchdown. So I'm just – I'm thinking to myself, who's more important to this offense right now? And I mean, Cole Beasley is the difference maker other than Zeke, obviously. He is the difference maker on this offense right now. Not Witten, not, obviously not Dez. He's only played 1 or 2 games. Cole Beasley is what has this offense run. I mean, if you're not getting – high percentage break through the line yards with Zeke, you're getting those low percentage or those down low high percentage throws, slant patterns over the middle to Beasley, who catches almost everything, and then the run after the catch. But I'll tell you who else I've been impressed with this season is Lucky Whitehead. Lucky Whitehead, single handedly. I mean, we went 90 something yards in 37 seconds. That little draw sweep that he did there got us going. He's been great on the return game, better than Dwayne Harris has ever been. I mean, I feel like there's a special element around this team. I feel like there's an aura around this team right now.
Everybody's excited. What did I tell you at the beginning of the season? I said if we run the ball and we dictate the time of possession, we are going
Which
to
we
win
haven't
a
ever
lot
done
of
so far.
Games. And we have done that, mm-hmm. and nobody has stopped us yet. That's why I'm calling for a Patriots game. Give me the Pats anytime. Give them to me in 10, you know, at week 10. Give them to me, you know, next week. It does not matter.
We're not going
to
have again for another 3 years. We played them last year.
I know. But my point is, you think the best team in football are the New England Patriots. I want to see how the greatest coach of all time figures out how to beat us when we decide when they get the ball. Nobody can beat that. Nobody, when they barely touch the ball. I thought, hey, Princess Rogers is supposed to be the greatest quarterback in football right now. Look what we did to him.
That's true. And honestly, watching Aaron Rodgers and what he did to us in that playoff game in 2014 with a bum leg, mind you, okay, the dude's leg was all banged up. What he did to us in 2014 and what I've seen him do to team after team after team after team after team that he has faced, I was sweating buckets before the game even started. I was nervous about Aaron Rodgers because I know what Aaron Rodgers is capable of. And yes, he's not playing very well this season, but guys always seem to have big games against us, big days against us for whatever reason. Not so much the case today, which is what makes me feel so good about this defense, because we've got a lot of great quarterbacks on our schedule this year. Obviously, we still got to play Big Ben. Okay, Matt Stafford, depending on if you want to call him great, but he is a stat machine and he does throw for a lot of yards. But, you know, and then we've got, well, Minnesota, Bridgewater's out. Yeah, so really the only guy we got left who's an elite quarterback is Big Ben. Well, Flacco too. We got Flacco, but the Ravens, I don't think the Ravens are that good this year. But Dolph Andy Dalton, or if not, well, Eli beat us. We got another shot at him, but I don't really consider Eli elite, but that's for a different show. But we've knocked off Dalton. We've knocked off now Rodgers. We've got Big Ben coming up, and then I believe we've got Big Ben, then Flacco, and then Stafford. So, you know, we got some ways to go, but I think Aaron Rodgers right now, what we did to him today, we can do to any quarterback in the league. I mean, the Steelers just lost to Miami today. So, and Big Ben looked terrible. So, you know, who knows? I mean, this is a team now with a relatively easy schedule where we could go 12-4 again. I mean, we've already jumped out to that kind of a lead in this division. We could very easily go 12-4 again and get a home game playoff, you know, whatever, against a 6-seed wild card or a 5-seed wild card. This already is shaping up to be something special. And that's the debate. That's the debate question that we have. We put it out on our Twitter. A lot of people, I believe we had 1,000 or so responses. I'd say probably 700 of them were leave Dak in. And that's the question that we have. And we're going to continue that question for another week, actually probably for another 2 weeks until that game starts. And then we'll finally reveal the results of our poll right before the game starts. But do we leave Dak Prescott in the game? And like I said, it pains me to say it because I've been a Romo advocate for years and I love Tony and I ride or die by Tony. And really, honestly, Tony's really the only quarterback this way about, because I was a baby for Aikman. And then I had to go through the Quincy Carter years, which were great. You know, those were always a fun time. And then I had to go into a just transitional nobody quarterback. We had Drew Bledsoe for a little while. And then obviously, so Romo is really the only one that I've really grown attached to. So, you know, I hate it. I hate to do it, but man, Dak's the truth. Dak's the future. And if he keeps playing this way, man, Dak could be the next big thing in this league. And it just makes me happy that he's a Dallas Cowboy. And he was my favorite number, which is number 4. So this is the Stars Aligned show today. A couple things we talked about. Beasley, Dak's streak is snapped, which I don't think anybody really cares about. He's already beaten Tom Brady's record, and he put 10 more on top of it. So I don't think that's being broken for a while. And then, you know, the one question we didn't discuss today, and we're not live anymore, so if you do want to listen to this, you can listen to it on the playback. But the quick question to end off the air today was this a Cowboys win, or was this a Packers loss today?
I feel like, I don't want to take as much away from us as I will right now, but I'm just going to call it the way it is. I think the Packers totally blew this game. I think
so too, honestly.
I think Garrett coached it like a pussy once again. And we were barely up for a lot of the game when we should have broken this thing open. I mean, listen, there's opportunities, rare opportunities within a football game where you get to literally rip the heart of your opponent out of their chest
on their home field.
Stomp on it. Yeah, and we had that opportunity in back-to-back weeks, Chris. We had it in Cincinnati where we could have been up by 30 and we didn't do it. And
we were up 28.
And we had it again in Lambeau. And I don't know if it's because Garrett likes Favre or what, but you know, we had a chance to really just give it to those Lambeau fans. And, you know, we didn't do it. So I feel like, unfortunately, it was more of a Packers loss than a Cowboys win. But listen, we are still progressing and we are still getting better and better with every week. And I'm excited to be a Cowboys fan once again after an abysmal 2015 season.
I think both of us had our question marks coming into the year. I am known to be the optimist. You are known to be the other, the other side of that. Oftentimes, maybe some would say pessimist. You would probably call it a realist. And again, I tend to be more optimistic. But even I, once Romo went down, wasn't optimistic at all. Was actually quite nervous. And then, you know, Dak comes in. Dak does what he does. He did the preseason. He was great. But then again, it's preseason. And then week one, I'm like, yeah, okay, here we go again. And now, you know, now I'm eating my words. And, you know, I'm super excited. I'm going to actually be up there with you watching the Sunday night game there in New Hampshire. I took that week off of work. So that'll be great. And there would be no better feeling in the world than to beat the Eagles. And honestly, whether it's Romo who beats the Eagles or whether it's Dak who beats the Eagles, as long as we get a big old W over Philly and go that much farther ahead in the division. Because here's one more quick tidbit before we get off the air. Philly has now dropped their second straight game. Carson Wentz looked pedestrian today against a suspect Redskins defense. And here's the thing. Philly, everyone's talking about, oh, maybe Philly's the real deal this year. Oh, they're 3-0. Oh, maybe Philly's the real deal. They lose to Detroit, who I don't think is all that great. Then, obviously, they lose today to the Redskins. They've got Minnesota next week. So they could end up falling to 3-3 and be on a three-game losing streak coming into this Dallas game. So, you know, and then if Dallas beats them, they could end up really pulling ahead in this division because I think Washington's got a tough game next week too. The Giants play the Rams in London. That's always a tough game. And then the Washington Redskins have, let me see real quick before we wrap this bad boy up. The Washington Redskins next week, I think, also have a very losable game for them. Let me pull it up. I don't think they're on bye. No, they're not. Oh, they got Detroit. So, and that's a game they could lose. It's in Detroit. So, you know, who knows? So Dallas has a chance here to really, really, really on the throat and stranglehold this division. But either way, that's in the future. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I'm happy to be a Cowboy fan. And so is
you did one hell of a job. And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Yeah!